Welcome back to Brass Stacks. This is Sanka Price here with you with Roshana Trim. And we were looking at the whole thing of the disturbing issue of violence and bad behavior in our society. And we were taking a special look at the role that poor education performance plays in it. And we had a call on the line. Sir, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes,
thank
go
you
on. You were making your point.
So, what I was saying is this whole thing about age grouping. And, you know, and I was trying to combine it with the fact that a gentleman earlier on had said that, you know, but it was unfair for teachers to find 30 different ways to teach 30 children. We have got a lot of competition going on throughout our lives. And, in the schools, there's no exception. So when you put a child in at 3 years old now, they're going at 2.5, 3, and you expect that child who comes from, to have the same skills as another child. I don't want to look at areas, but the fact is that some parents spend more time with their children than other parents do. So one parent who may who might prefer to do things academic, but try to push their child in that direction. It is incumbent, and I'm saying that upon the teacher, to try to find the best way to put over what he or she is teaching. And I'm saying that coming from a background. My parents were teachers. My daughter's a teacher. My sister's a teacher. Uncles and aunts and all were involved in the teaching profession. And these discussions came up quite often. And as a little fella, I was allowed to participate in those discussions. Now, in other places, you're not allowed to do that. And one of the things that often came up was the fact that you would find that 6 or 8 children in a particular class or form would grasp a concept, but you would have to modify it for the others. And, without trying to put the other children down, unfortunately, because of the competitive element that always creeps in, some people have been labeled as silly. Mm. And that's one of my reasons for wanting to see the 11 plus exam scrapped as a measurement for children to attend.
The key thing, though, sir, sorry to cut you in, but the key thing would be what solutions? What? How can we get past this? How can we not get past this, but how can we solve this? Because It is a worrying statistic when you hear that 7 out of 10, in fact, not here, when a study is done and it shows that 7 out of 10 of the inmates have no qualifications.
Right, okay. Now, we are using qualifications in a lot of sense, in the sense of academic qualifications, and not necessarily guiding the children in the area that they would prefer to go in. And I think we've got people who are trained in Barbados, who can go in and do assessments. And I think children should be assessed throughout their period. And from age, let's say age 3, 4, you have an assessment done so that you can tell where that child belongs. Because I've seen many a person who was called dyslexic, who used to be called stupid before. Mm-hmm. But now dyslexia has been one of the areas that we look at and we monitor. And the children are guided accordingly based on their ability. Now, I think where crime comes in, though, because a lot of people feel, and I have a group of youngsters that I talk to on a regular basis, or groups, and I like to go and hang out and hear what they have to say. And quite often, they're not lost, you know. It is just that they think the system has failed them.
Yep.
And they cannot see how they can fit into the system. Now, with regular assessment, sociological assessment, and also with investigation being done into the person's family. I don't see it as an intrusion, but I see it as a necessity, because you're going to save that fellow who thinks he does not, or that girl that thinks that they're not a part of the society. It makes them feel, a part of it, because not everybody has, and that parental guidance is not always there. And even this parental guidance, sometimes some of the poor parents are having to go and struggle and work long hours. So I think we need to bring more professional help in and do more assessment of children. Let's say every 2 years from 3.
We're talking about a whole change. We shall see, sir.
I definitely agree with the caller. Because, I mean, people learn differently, and school is supposed to assist you with being able to tap into what you want to do so that when you are finished, you can now become a productive citizen. That doesn't mean that you need to become, like I keep saying, the traditional careers, because new careers have emerged and new careers that we can get into. And we need to be able, as a society, to transform the education system to tap into the creativity and the adaptiveness and what the 21st century means for children, and also be able to deal with persons that may be on the spectrum of autism, dyslexia, and those ADHD, those different things, as well as persons who may just want to do things like horseback equestrian or carpentry, and not see them as dumpsy. I think those are labels are very troubling for me, see them as dumpsy or dunce or whatever, but recognize that everyone fits into the mechanism that is society, contributing in multiple ways, and each of them play a very important role.
Certainly does.
And before I go on, just let me say too that I think their music is absolutely important. Music must be taught from a very early age, and children must get involved in music. Music is one of the ways of bringing up creativity and expression within children.
You should see Dennis Johnson. Dennis Johnson is giving you the thumbs up, man. He believes in that. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
But you too. This person is saying, my wife is a teacher. One of the main problems with children is indiscipline. It's discipline and indisciplined parents. I am tired of hearing that bashment is a part of who we are. Nonsense. How long bashment came in? It is not part of who I am. And this other person here is saying, good afternoon, Mr. Price. I also left school without any papers, but I left primary school with the most important thing that we call the 3 R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic. We were taught to think critically. Armed with those things, anyone can be successful in life. Anyone can be successful. In life, we have too many young people being herded through school like sheep for the slaughter who cannot read or write. And this immediately is the last one because it's pretty interesting. Was a teacher at a primary school, have heard children say that they can't wait till they leave school to go on the block. These were children at 5 years old. Some say it is hard to be good. Some give trouble just to get suspended from school. Let's go back to the phone lines and take this one that's called for. Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Mr. Price, and guest.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Mr. Johnson, I also agree that it's not only lyrics, it's rhythm and beat also is very important when it comes to music. They have to know the right rhythm or what's the wrong rhythm, and we've done the beat. Now, the media, it is a fact, and actually, it was very, 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 very closely ago that the entertainment systems that we have actually tend to desensitize people towards certain things. Even, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, even in the old days, you know, some of those soap operas, you know, they did these psychological tests on people who watched soap operas in the United States. I found that a lot of them could not differentiate between the fiction and in soap operas and reality, trying to live life just like the soap operas. And that was an absolute amazing statistic which they came up with at that point in time. Now, there's also something called cell phone addiction. And a former drone pilot was on the BBC a couple of years ago, and he said that these things started desensitized. He said that anytime you find a good drone pilot, he's a very good video game player, and it desensitizes you towards certain things. These things got to watch out for. How we put these smartphones and these things in the hands of children. We gotta look for this. And something else also, the last time I spoke, you said that most of the inmates don't have many qualifications. But did you ever go through any tests, like blood tests and stuff, that see if it has something else in common as well? I'm not going to say it's going to happen here, but you know, remember Flint, Michigan? Remember what happened in Flint?
That was one lead poisoning?
Right. Do you know that there's another program on it that says over the next 20 years, they have to check the crime statistic because there's a connection between lead poisoning and crime.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you very much. lead poisoning and crime. Look, but like, one of the things that we really want to look at, because it's not 12:45, we have another 30 minutes to go, and because we went off track, as we usually do with these programs, but I want to look at, we have crop over coming up, and the bad behavior, how is that impacting everyday life in Barbados? I want to look at that in particular. I mentioned, first of all, like we see it on the roads. We see it in terms of the motorcyclists and they're doing the stunts on the road. The bicyclists who don't stop at major stops or just normally just ride out of roads, cross roads, just so, you know, into oncoming traffic, like if they're invincible. You see it in the manner in which people speak to each other on the streets. You speak to how people deal with each other in fets. How, as a young woman, a very attractive young woman myself, for those who don't know Roshana, and I would assume you go to parties now and then, right?
I do.
You enjoy the crop of festivals. How do you relate to young men and their behavior at these events?
So yes, I party not often, but I do, and I've been enjoying the crop over season so far. For me, from an earlier age, there were techniques that we used, I guess, in order to avoid certain things occurring. One is that you see women going to the bathroom in groups. So normally persons tend to make the joke that when a woman says she has to go to the bathroom, everybody goes. That is really for safety purposes. Additionally, sometimes I might have a stranger pretend that that's my boyfriend, so that a man will understand that I don't want him around me or interfering with me, because for some reason men seem to respect men a lot more than they respect the wishes of a woman who says, no, I don't want to dance with you or anything like that. Other times I've pretended to have a girlfriend as well. People respect that. I don't know, it's difficult to go out sometimes and just enjoy yourself without having to deal with unwanted advances as a young woman. And it's very difficult. Sometimes I can't be bothered to even go out because I just don't want the hassle. So for me, in this season, I haven't been out as much for many reasons, but as we wind down to like Kaduma and stuff, I'll be out. But for me, I'm still trying to figure out exactly how do I respond to specific things without coming across as rude and disrespectful, but also how to kind of avoid events that might not end in violence and that sort of stuff. So that's a concern. I know for myself, as well as many other young people, not only young women, but also young men as well, having to deal with violence and the spin-off from violence at specific events.
Well, so you were actually there when something happened? Some event when there was some sort of violent
I've been to events and there have been fights. Not this season, but I mean, I've been to events before and there have been fights. I've never been to an event that ended in a death or anything, and I'm grateful for that. I feel sorry for persons who do have to deal with that and the results of that and the ramifications of losing friends at events, because I have lost people that I know from gun violence and that sort of stuff. But like for this season, having seen the fights at the cruises and additionally the thing from Puff of Colour, the episode from Puff of Colour.
The incident that took place after Puff of Colour.
Right, the incident that took place after Puff of Colour. Oh,
right.
But also hearing the responses of persons who attended those events and how they feel, like also...
But give us some... can you just tell us, walk us through how some of your friends or yourself would have felt if you've been to an event and there was violence? How did you feel after the fact that you managed to, you had to run out and you took to escape being injured or anything like that?
Well, first of all, I think usually I'm very upset because it would appear to go to the event and now I've wasted my money and what could have been a very good time because persons could not control themselves or control their anger, sometimes over things that are very trivial. Other times, if it was really bad, I know there are a lot of persons that feel very nervous and very scared about it. And then you have to deal with parents who may want you know to stay home because of that. And it's annoying, it's inconvenient, and it's also disheartening. as well as the fact that this has now had an impact on the promoters and what they have done and the job that they are doing to probably build a brand, because a lot of these persons are young promoters seeking to make some form of income.
Mm-hmm. All right, but it's not only at the FETs, it's just walking the street. How do you respond to that as a young woman, attractive young woman? How do you respond to a man just telling you something about how you look? I mean,
it's a lot of times I ignore it. I do not respond to specific things. So I do not respond to cat calls or persons who do not call me by my name. Most of the time, sometimes I might look around, it might be somebody that I know, but most of the time I do not respond to them. I find that additionally, when it comes to, you might live in a specific area, traverse a specific area a lot, men might give up after a while. I don't know how you respond to it. I think a lot of women have developed this technique for responding to men and distasteful behavior. And I think also that applies to just in general dealing with inappropriate behavior, which is disheartening because you now have to feel uncomfortable in specific situations like walking down the street or that sort of stuff. But I think women have developed it. And I don't know if women that are listening identify with what I'm saying, but I think a lot of times we just find ways to deal with the situation. Mm-hmm. And it might not be the best response, but the truth is that to a certain extent, it seems as if at the moment, right now, men just think that they have liberties that they can take. And it's really disgusting.
And what do you feel can be done about this?
One, I think it has to do with how we talk to our young men. The messages that we
being parents and...
Parents, everybody, even within media. So sometimes you hear songs that speak to... That are set, their tone is one of sexual harassment. The message that they send basically talks about sexual harassment. And we applaud them and we clap for them. And I think sometimes what we do is that we allow for it to become cultural. Well, advocates will say that Caribbean culture is based in sexual harassment because that's something that we kind of don't look at. We don't see somebody sitting at you or catcalling as disrespectful. And that sort of stuff. We see it as women being too sensitive. And I think that we need to address that. We need to get very serious about sexual harassment in Barbados and how we respond to allegations of sexual harassment and how persons who perpetuate that crime, how we punish them and how we address them. And for persons who, and this is something that I saw before, for persons who are in positions of authority, the abuse of authority to intimidate or sexually harass a woman has to be met a lot harsher than a regular person on the street, because you are to set an example, whether it be because of your job or your title or your role or your place. That has to be the standard that is set, and it can't be swept under the table or pushed under the rug or ignored, or it can be hustle through the back door, whatever it is. The public has to see, and people have to see, that the dehumanization of women and the snatching of rights of women is something that we do not stand for, that we do not support in Barbados. Even within bands, I feel as if you are in a band and you keep harassing a woman and she says to security, "This man is harassing me," I do not care if you are in costume, you could be outside the ropes. Because as a woman, I deserve a certain level of comfort, whether or not I am in costume or I am fully clothed.
Mm-hmm. All right, we go to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good afternoon. It's 12:54.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was listening to the program earlier. A lady was speaking of how her 16-year-old son had to be expelled from school, right? So I really could understand that, because I had an example of my son when he was at 16. Right, because the foundation school there. And all you understood that, because illegally you can be expelled at 16 years old, although you may not have even reached fifth form or only have one chance at the fifth form level, you can be expelled. So that's a typical example of people who may not have been able to progress for that school.
I think a call just dropped out. All right, we go to the next call. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Wow. Good afternoon, Mr. Prey.
Good afternoon. Is this Miss Undecided?
Yes.
It's nice to hear your voice. I just seen you on WhatsApp. Well, you have the whole of Barbados listening to you.
Good afternoon to your guest.
Good afternoon.
How would you respond to what she's saying in terms of how men, treat women, in just normally on the streets and in fets and that sort of thing. That whole bad behavior. How would you respond to that?
All right, Mr. Price. Look, I came up in an era before. All things change. Things remain the same. All she was talking before happened back in my time. It will get worse now, but all what she was saying before happened in my time. Things just roll over. You cannot change nothing, so you could talk to the coast, come home. Things will remain the same way. This is a new generation, a generation also. They say you can't put them in the past generation because there's younger parents. And nothing will change. And now the younger generation know about the technology. Technology is what's changing the young generations too.
How so?
With the computer, the internet, they know about things. They know about things. Even the smallest child knows about things, in advance. You know, with the younger, in the older generation, we used to have depends on we mommy to tell me certain things and so on. They can go and click on the internet and everything exposed to them. So they got more technology, they got things in their head, they more advanced in other things.
But don't you see that as a good thing, as being able to, don't you see that as a good thing, as being able to gain more knowledge at a quicker rate so that they can advance themselves?
No, I ain't know, but it's technology. The world changes, it's technology. No, so we can't do nothing about it. It's technology.
You don't see the availability, the access to information, this broadened access to information so that our young people can know a lot more than before. You don't see that as something that is positive?
Yeah, but as I was saying, you know, we had older parents, your older generation was sick and taught to us and so on. But with this new generation now, there's a lot of these young parents in here now, these young people now. And that the old people that will sit down and do a good bowl of food for you, sit down and tell you right from wrong and so on. The young people got advanced to the computer, the internet, the phones, they go on there and learn a lot of things. So they're more advanced to people that was in return.
I was going to ask you the next question, but you called, sir, and you didn't get a chance to ask what you talked about, what you wanted to talk about.
No, I was talking about this thing and another thing with the church. The churches have to do something else different to get the young people into the church. Them just cannot go on with the same thing all the time. There have been a new thing in the church to attract the young people into the church. Because the young people more up on the internet and so on. And the young people, like this world is going to run with the new generation. The new generation is what's setting the pace. So all we talking and rolling over, nothing will not change. All things change, it will remain the same way. And that's all I have to say, Mr. Price.
All right, well, thank you very much. We take another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Angela, and I'm calling about about how women and present themselves and how they dress. They go. They put on so much. They put on their makeup. They get their hair done and their nails done. They dress nice and everything. But when they open their mouth, it's all incomplete. I don't understand why women take so much time to get dressed, and then they have this nasty attitude. They're full of so much anger, and it shows. It shows on the bus, on the train, and stuff like that. And they expect men to respect them. How can a man respect you if you don't respect yourself, the way you carry yourself, you know, and stuff like that. Right. But I think that if a man is disrespectful to you, right there and then, you put him in his place. You see, because a lot of people think that... Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. You go right ahead.
Because the thing is that I do find that there's a lot of people out here who think they're entitled. And it's not only young people who are doing this, because I take public transportation and I see women my age, I'm almost 60 years old, and I see women my age doing things, and you know, and then young people on the bus is seeing this, and you can't expect kids to be any different, to learn something from you. When you get to that age, you're growing up. I think there's an example. You have to set an example for the children out there. Kids with their pants down and stuff like that. And on the bus, he's cursing and stuff. Look at that. We have to encourage our youngsters. Not by telling them things, but the way we carry ourselves. We cannot be out there just carrying on and behaving badly. And to set an example for our young children.
All right.
Children learn by example. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I realize that some kids think they're entitled. But we have to also teach that. Hey, you know, you have to fight for what you want, but in a productive way. Have to teach them, and you can't teach kids something you don't know.
All right. Thank you very much. We're losing a little quality, but thank you. You're from calling from New York, and I really appreciate you listening to the program today. And I can tell you that I have a number of WhatsApps here where people are actually saying the same thing, that and this one is saying, Mr. Price, some women actually encourage this behavior because they don't basically respect themselves, and they think that they're entitled. And if you don't respond like other men to them, they think that you're gay or something. Some of us care about the person's character as opposed to that, to what the hell that they're wearing. And then this this next person is saying, the reality is that there's a lot of same-sex hassle during Kaduma. Women harassing women just as much as men do. As a matter of fact, some of the women are bolder than the men. And the way women express themselves during the reverie, exposing their privates and gyrating in the streets, gets a reaction from the thousands of drunk, horny, pumped up men. After all, the men ain't dead. That's what this person says. Roshana, your response to all that, women respecting themselves. Like this one is saying, how are we, the people, can help change some of these problems? Some of the young ladies need to respect themselves. How do you respond to that?
So, I don't ever remove responsibility from individuals to ensure their safety. The problem with conversations revolving around sexual harassment, women respecting themselves, is that you can have the most self-respect and still fall victim to sexual harassment. You can go to a fet and stand up and still fall victim to somebody disrespecting you or invading your space without your consent. You can be well-dressed from head to toe, as persons might like to see, and in a long skirt and long sleeve shirt, and you can still be molested, sexually molested, on the street. And the conversation that talks about men aren't dead, the issue with that is that the fact that if a woman being on the street in a costume or walking up or gyrating causes you to lose control of yourself to the point where you cannot understand the concept of no, then I feel like if you have reduced yourself to something just based on instincts, you do not have you have not taken into account that you have the capacity to make decisions and have a choice, which is something that is distinct to humans. We do not operate on instinct, we operate on logic. And so I think that, one, well, women to some extent me get a bit enthusiastic in the way how they behave on the road or anything like that. Well, that is one thing. At the same time, that doesn't remove the onus from men to take responsibility for their actions. A naked woman is not consent. A woman in a short skirt is not consent. A woman who's gyrating is not consenting. A woman who is splitting in the middle or whatever else, bubbling or twerking, is not consent. And that is something that we need to understand. If a woman says no, it is no. To the person that said that some women encourage that behavior, then the truth is that when she encourages that behavior, then that is at her, but she still has the right to remove consent at any time. So I think the major thing here is about consent and recognizing when your approaches or your attention is unwanted and knowing to back off and not pushing it.
Well said. And but I can assure you here that the comments that we have here on certainly on the WhatsApp, whether from male or female, they tend to put a lot of that responsibility on young women themselves. I'm reading one here that I do not think Dennis would allow me to read, so I'm just looking at it. But I'll just do a little part of it. Mr. Price, I would be criticized for this, but young women need to learn self-respect. If you respect yourself, you will dress modestly when you are in public. If it's not for sale, do not advertise. Men are visual, and that's what they respond to. And he's saying, slutty is not sexy. A woman can be hot and sexy while fully clothed. But as you made the point, Roshana,
you can be fully dressed. Like, women in Muslim countries are molested. Women who are fully dressed coming from church modestly are molested. And slutty is not what we term slutty.
What is slutty?
I don't know. Men have to define that for me, to be honest. A man has to define that for me, perhaps. Because we seem to term slutty as once a woman isn't covered from head to toe, then she's a slut, or if she wears a short pants. Or so you're telling me that as a man, you don't have the control to see a woman who is dressed in a short pants and a shirt. We live in Barbados, hot. And recognize that she just doesn't want you or doesn't want you to harass her or speak to her. What is wrong with me telling you, even in a short pants and a vest, I don't want to speak to you? Mm-hmm. Is it, why do I have, as a woman, have to take into account completely how you feel about what I am wearing, whether or not it will turn you on? I cannot dress as I choose because it's going to make you feel uncomfortable or aroused. So what about me? Why don't men take responsibility for themselves and recognize that they do not have the access or the right to a woman simply because of how she is dressed?
Mm-hmm. To WhatsApps here. I'm in total, this is one comes from 613 area code. I'm in, Mr. Price, young men need, and they have it in ball, young men need to learn self-control. And another one says, I'm in total agreement with the young woman who just spoke about responsibility. We'll take another call here. It's now 1:09. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. I've just heard a conversation with a lady talking about women dressed slutty without consent and so on and so forth. And I think it is rubbish because if she had not done the statistics, to find all Muslim women, Christian women, and slutty women that she called has been attacked.
Right? Muslim women.
And the proof is there. The proof is there.
The proof is there for what? The proof is there for what, sir? So you lost me a bit.
Pardon,
the proof,
sir?
You said the proof is there for what?
For the statistics that very few Muslims and very few Christians, but the most people that dress slut and slutty, has been attacked.
Sir, the fact about the matter is that India has one of the highest rate stats in the world. Okay?
India, like,
the Hindus and they wear saris. I mean, come on. I mean, really? Come on. You know? It is your responsibility as a man to control yourself. Come on, man.
But also, one of the things that also strikes me is that statistics within the Caribbean prove that most women, three out of five women, will be sexually harassed, have been sexually harassed, or have been sexually initiated by men that they know. Mm-hmm. So I don't think you can link, you can accept that women have to take responsibility for men. Like, in no way should you think that a woman has the right to decide to dress in a way that makes a man not harass her. There is no clothing that has been shown to necessarily say, you can't, this will cause me to be raped. You can be fully clothed. And I think that goes back to us recognizing about responsibility. And we have to take responsibility for our actions. And we have to understand that we play a part in what happens as it relates
in terms of how people view you. Because like this WhatsApper is saying, good afternoon. Who goes and walk up on police? Not the men. You would never in your lifetime see a man go and walk up on a police woman. Right? Men too frightened to do that. But yet women go and walk up on police men. So they're talking about the lack of respect that some women have. And having said that, this other person here is writing, I was in Sheraton Center yesterday. The amount of flesh on show from women of any age. Shorts, so short, unbelievable. Yes, Barbados is hot, but decorum is a must. So these are the sort of views that you have been expressed here about dress. So the question is, what does dress have to do with it?
From what I gather from the conversation, it has to do with, so depending on what I dress, is telling you, it's like an invitation. So if I have on a 3/4 pants, then you know what, you're not allowed to seats at me. So perhaps a legging is leggings are acceptable, but then it might show too much. So men might interpret that as me saying, hi, I'm open for access. That's what it seems to come across as. And that really isn't the way how a conversation on sexual harassment should be framed, or a conversation on respect for a woman should be framed. Because it seems like if a woman has the responsibility for both her and a man, and that can't be the case. I don't say that women should be naked, should walk around naked and that's it, but any day is up to you, and I think that men need to be able to control themselves.
Mm-hmm. What is interesting, it's now 1:13, so we're winding down, but what is really interesting here is some of the comments that we're having. I'll just share a quick couple. I don't think you should dangle cheese in front of a mouse if you don't want it to eat the cheese.
Wow.
And this other person says, I'm a woman and all women need to be respectful first to themselves before they can get that from anyone else. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank, on your behalf, I want to thank Roshana Trim for coming in. Remember, she's the president of the Barbados Youth Council. It's not called that these days, but it's called the
Barbados Youth Development Council.
And I just thought, we wanted to hear different voices in relation to what is happening with the behavior of young people in public, especially how it will impact us on a day-to-day basis. And we went off track a bit in the first half, but we brought it back because what we were discussing here is real for young women, in fact, for women of all ages these days, as they walk along the street and as they go to the fets. And we also concerned with the bad behavior on our roads, or the bad behavior of how the motorcyclists, drivers. We're also concerned of these fights and the violence that is taking place. And as I made the point initially, this can all derail whatever economic program that we're on. So it is critical that we start trying to address this issue. Some of the things that were raised here, what I find that particularly interesting is how we perceive roles. It seems that women are held to a certain standard, and it seems that a lot of people, men and women, based on what I'm reading here, think that a lot of women don't respect themselves these days. But the question that needs to be asked and answered, as Roshana did, is, aren't you responsible for your own, for the way you react to us? And you have a responsibility to bear as well. Anyhow, don't forget, tomorrow I'm getting down to Brass Dance. We hope to bring you live the half yearly report from the Commissioner of Police, Mr. Tyrone Griffith. And he would also report on security for the upcoming crop over, finale for crop over. Until then, take good care. Have a great day.